right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to welcome the Golden Rule Peace Boat to Portland, Wednesday, June 8th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. In 1958, a crew of Quaker peace activists attempted to sail the Golden Rule to the Marshall Islands to interfere with U.S. nuclear bomb testing. This bold, nonviolent direct action inspired a worldwide movement leading to the Partial Nuclear Test Ban Treaty of 1963. On June 8th, there will be a panel presentation and discussion of their past work and plans for a peaceful, sustainable future, featuring Harvey Wasserman of Solartopia, Mimi German of The Radcast, Teresa Rayford from Don't Shoot Portland, and many more. Music will be provided by Dave Rovix. Again, that's the Golden Rule Peace Boat panel discussion on Wednesday, June 8th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1011 Southwest 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Don't worry, I won't hurt you. I only want to have some fun.
Dearly beloved,
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Prince vs. Bowie Memorial Bike Ride on Saturday, June 11th. Put on some purple, grab your dancing shoes, and a bicycle for a rock and mobile dance party with Diablo. We'll gather at 7 p.m. at Sewell Crest Park on Southeast 32nd Avenue, just south of Hawthorne. More information at kboo.fm under Community Events. Again, Prince vs. Bowie, Saturday, June 11th at 7 p.m.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, June 7th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Well, it is indeed sunny day out there in Cascadia. We've got a train derailment, of course, just east of here, up the river, up the Columbia River. And here in Portland, in case we forgot, in the stampede to be the very first person to get up to Mosher and get your name written in stone for reporting on, this is disaster journalism, you know, the rush to be the first to cash in career-wise on the next best, biggest catastrophe coming down the tracks, so to speak. So that said, we have right here in Portland, the Willamette River, and it seems that we forget that that river is part of us. At least white people do, because most of them are not from around here. They're very mobile, again, stampeding to the next best, biggest thing that's happening. They'll probably be moving on soon. So no one has a sense of place. No one has any a commitment as far as traditions, as far as one's story is concerned. If one's story is not rooted in a place, how do our stories tell us anything, teach us anything about who we are in the world? That is exactly what this is about. The Willamette River is still a Superfund site. You still wouldn't want to go swimming in it. And it's still, no matter what a treaty says or a map says, is still, it's part of indigenous peoples' land, their first, last, and eternal claim to the land and the river people. That's the Yakima Nation and the Umatilla Nation, Warm Springs. We go on naming the people who are our river people. And we have, although, you know, there are our stories today unfolding, the train derailment, the cleanup, the cost, the responsibility, and of course Union Pacific dodging around like a boxer on the ropes about to go down, we hope. And that said, I want to welcome Rose Longoria, our Regional Superfund Projects Manager to the Yakima Nation, coming, joining us on Air Cascadia very generously. Thanks so much, Rose, for being with us today.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate being here.
This is the fact that the Willamette River is overlooked. We take it for granted that, well, there's the river, and yep, it certainly is filthy, and wouldn't want to go swimming in there, ha ha ha. There are a few stalwarts who have been working on this issue for a long time and are not giving up, and there are many people who do just take the river for granted, many newcomers who have no idea that it's a super fun site. And then, of course, there are indigenous people whose blood and the waters of the Willamette River mingled for generations. So we've got, there are different levels of commitment here. But let's talk about what's going on right now with the Willamette River and funding Superfund sites and where we are at the moment. Could you sort of give people an idea of where the situation stands?
Yeah, so right now, after 15 to 16 years of work by EPA, the PRPs, which are the potentially responsible parties, industry that have caused the pollution, have, and other what we would call EPA partners, like the tribes, the state, other local and federal agencies, have been involved in doing the remedial investigation, sort of the study, if you will, of the site and how best to clean that site up. And I want to make it clear for your listeners that when we talk about the Portland Harbor Superfund site, this is a site that is nearly 10 river miles long, and it encompasses a multitude of different industries, and it is extremely complex. There are, you know, multiple agencies involved. There's over 150 PRPs, the responsible parties that are involved, several tribes and, you know, interested organizations that are have been involved over the years, and it's just been very complex site to get through, and it's taken a long time. But we are now at the point where EPA will be issuing what they call their proposed plan to clean up the Portland Harbor area. And unfortunately, based on the information that we are familiar with, it seems as though that plan is really a big win for industry and a pretty major loss for individuals who depend on the natural resources that the Willamette and Columbia River, because there's an impact to the Columbia River. So anyone who depends on those resources, which Yakima Nation relies on both the Willamette and the Columbia River for fish that feeds family members, tribal members.
What you're saying
culture.
Then, basically then, the Willamette proposed plan violates treaties, and so it should be dead in the water, so to speak, right on the moment it's this plan is released. This just seems it doesn't have a bright future, this plan.
I think that you are exactly correct, that the proposed plan is grossly inadequate to protect the Yakima Nation's treaty rights.
So what do we... where does one go, given that this is immensely complex, but it can be simplified if we simply invoke Indigenous justice? This is an issue that I'm very keen on, is the comparison between the white European justice, so-called judicial systems that are in place, and then tribal justice. The two are different in many very critical ways. But would not Indigenous justice be the ultimate arbitrator of what happens with these 10 miles and who really needs to be spoken with? I mean, can you talk about how tribal justice has been used in this case?
Well, I greatly appreciate that sentiment as far as the responsibility of the federal government to uphold their fiduciary responsibility as well as their trust responsibility to tribes in protecting treaty resources. And the tribes that have been involved at the Portland Harbor Superfund site, which you named a couple of them, the Warm Springs, Nez Perce, Yakima Nation, Umatilla, and other tribes, they have been in working directly with EPA and trying to get a better cleanup for the Superfund site. But I will have to say that it seems as though folks within industry have taken a course of going directly to congressional representatives and to high levels within EPA and really expressing to both congressmen and EPA about what they are saying or claiming would be a dramatic impact to the way that they do business on the Willamette. And their voices have been rather powerful. And I think it seems as though both congressmen and EPA have heard that loud and clear. So now it is the tribe's responsibility, and the tribes have taken that responsibility in making their voices heard. What is important, though, is if the public wants a greater cleanup for the river that they also rely on, there needs to be a community outcry to EPA, to the politicians, to industry, for a more active cleanup that truly protects and restores both the Willamette and Columbia rivers.
Rose, we're out of time, as it happens. I've got a lot more questions I would love to ask you, many of which are triggered by what you just said. My view is that it all comes down to the fact that a complex problem could be solved very simply if and when Indigenous justice is invoked. That is the only justice system that applies in this case. And it would certainly, in negotiations, nation to nation, with the federal government, it would is very clearly the states that treaties should be upheld and the Willamette River needs to be cleaned up in order that the treaties can be respected. Anyway, Rose, thank you so much. Got a website or resource for us? Quick, hey, before we go.
So soon, a website that's called cleanupportlandharbor.org will be available